Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 121. And this is commemorating, it's a very timely episode number, commemorating the death of Gwen Stacy.
Was that the moment of silence for Gwen?
That was. In Spider-Man 121.
No one's talking.
Well, that
like,
got awkward.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Spider-Man, I've been trying to, you know, make, now that we're into these big issue numbers, trying to make it correspond with, you know, some famous issue. So.
What's tomorrow? Or what's the...
I don't know. What could it be? What's 122? Kind of a famous 122. Yeah, chomp your gum. That sounds good. I'm sure they're enjoying listening to that. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be happy they're not.
Why?
So what's 122?
The Green Goblin.
Oh, thank you. And 123, I'm going to add, that's going to be a little more challenging.
But he came back. Is it really his death?
Yeah, well, it was. Okay, who hasn't come back? Even Gwen Stacy came back. Okay?
Uncle Ben.
She was a clone.
Uncle Ben. Okay, so we missed it on 15 for the death of
Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben.
Gwen never came back.
Yeah, she was a clone.
That's a different person.
Norman is came back as Abraham. You know, so yeah. It all depends.
Well, he didn't technically die. He just was Abraham.
Oh, okay.
He was always Abraham?
Just a different guy.
Okay, Adam's lost it, so don't listen to Adam tonight. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
You're just telling that one guy that you're close. He came in and he's just like, oh.
No, I was telling Pat to click the open sign.
I know.
Okay.
What signaled that guy?
I wasn't telling that guy that we
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah. He wasn't saying it. He was telling me to tell him.
Once he saw that light go off, he was just like, oh.
No, it didn't stop people last night. They were still coming in at 7:30 because we were putting out the new books.
Really?
Like, we're closed. I'm like, oh, I'm like, it just feels weird having to lock myself in the store. I don't know.
And you had to turn the lights off.
Yeah.
Blinds or something.
Yeah, yeah, I should get blinds. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Just for that.
Yeah.
Like, so they'd leave you alone.
Or cat dogs.
Or a big sign that says, not open, go away.
Get the goat out.
The goat, no. Yeah. Have you been feeding the goat, Adam?
That's your job.
No, everything's my job.
It's part of the responsibilities of an account.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, the big thing that happened last week was, it was Free Comic Book Day, which was a huge success. I guess it really couldn't not be a success. It's still Free Comic Book Day. And you guys took, took about 7,900 of the 8,000 free comic books I had out for display. For some reason, Valiant had no love. There were huge stacks of both Valiant books left.
That hurts. That's disappointing.
Yeah, I don't know why.
They weren't really stories, though. It was like...
Like a prequel to Armor Wars or whatever.
The one was a good, like, if you're trying to get into Valiant, this is what everything that's going on in the Valiant universe.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, if you were reading
Talk it
Valiant,
up, Josh. I have lots more to give away.
So if you're reading Valiant, I could see not grabbing it because you know all that stuff, but for someone that's interested, it was a good one. And Armor Hunters, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of new content in there, only, I think, 5 or 6 pages, but still, I mean, it's a good book. Buy Valiant books. They're great. Okay. Creating a great universe.
But other than that, yeah, seemed a lot of happy people. We went through, I initially bought 160 hot dogs, and those were gone really fast. And then we went and got another 100, and those eventually went. So next year I know I need
250 hot dogs.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
And the Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Adam's fault, though. You did tell him to get the Hulk, and he never did.
He just wouldn't blow it up, so I don't know what his problem was.
I didn't want to do all the work, though.
Yeah, see, nobody wants to do any work. That's the problem, Pat. That's the problem with this country.
I understand.
Nobody wants to do any work.
We offered. He turned us away. So get out of here.
Hulk was asleep.
We'll wake him up.
Maybe next year we'll try the Hulk again next year. Maybe I'll get here at 6 and start blowing up the Hulk. That sounds like fun.
Or 5. Just get here at 5.
Sure.
Okay. Just don't leave the night before.
Yeah. Stay.
Yeah.
Set up a cot.
That sounds like comfy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sheet on it already.
Bring a little mattress, put it on the long boxes in the basement. But no, best sales day for me ever. Beat last year, which I never thought we would come close to. Because last year, I don't know what happened. It was a crazy, huge day. And then we blew past that one. So everything went well. Lots of customers, lots of sales, lots of books gone. Everybody seemed happy. Lots of new faces, which is always good. Not that I don't like seeing the old faces, but
no love like, for the regulars. What the hell?
Yeah, I like seeing the people, you know, the new people, because that's always important.
But they have to come back.
Right. But who wouldn't come back? I fed them. I gave them free stuff. Are they just going to not come back?
This guy feeds us all the time.
And yeah. 53 points on their card.
That's true. The card will probably bring them back. Like, I have something to do with this.
Well, why do I have this? Yes. So, yeah. And it was funny talking to people who, because I didn't talk to everybody, obviously. But there were people who was like their first time here and didn't even know it was Free Comic Book Day and came in. And we're just kind of like, what's going on?
It's
like,
this is our Saturday.
This is normal Saturday. That'd be awesome. If I could do that every Saturday, I'd give away hot dogs. But, yeah, so thanks to everybody that came out. Yeah.
You probably
I don't want to say we'll see you next year, but. No, you know, because it's funny because I always don't buy enough hot dogs because I do another Memorial Day. We bring the grill up and stuff, and I always have lots of extra hot dogs after that. So that's always in the back of my head that we had extras last year. We're at Free Comic Book Day. We didn't.
No.
So. You have Halloween that did that.
Oh, yeah. That never works because there's just...
They don't put out very good books.
Well, it's not even that. It's there's so much going on just with Halloween in general. And personally, you're dealing with the kids, trying to figure out what we're doing at home and everything. And also, you know, that's 3 weeks before Black Friday. So I'm gearing my head towards that as well. What?
I'm just trying to count how you get 3 weeks between Black Friday and Halloween.
Sure. Okay.
Like, you know, because Thanksgiving has been late the last 2 years.
Okay. But so still, been, you have to have stuff ordered to have in, so... It's like, there's a lot going on, and, oh, yeah, we're going to have another free day. Yeah, okay, you know, oh, you're putting out 3 books that I'm supposed to give away and publicize, and just never, it hasn't materialized the way they want it to. And I just think their head's not that way either. You know, they're not thinking that we're, you know, this is all I have going on. You know, Free Comic Book Day in May,
yeah,
that's it.
They should give away pumpkin bombs for Halloween. I'd come for that. Free pumpkin bombs.
The glider rides here.
Look at this transition. This is a perfect transition. Way to go, guys.
See?
Because a movie came out on Friday. No, not that rom-com you enjoyed so much, Adam. See, if I was prepared, I would have known, but I have no idea what else came out. But Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out. So why don't you go play some video games?
I'm prepared to be spoiled.
Okay. So some of us saw it. Adam has no intention of ever seeing it because he hates Spider-Man.
Yeah,
he does.
He's the kid who hates Spider-Man.
That's me.
Yeah. But Pat saw it, I saw it, and Dave saw it. And I don't know Dave's feeling on it. I know Pat and I have already discussed this a little bit. Spoilers. So fast forward. I don't know how you fast forward.
Spoilers for a movie that came out a week ago.
Yeah. What?
Can you fast forward anymore?
I don't know. Well, if you download it in your iPad or your iTunes, yeah. If not, just go la 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 for a little bit.
I think that's what they do anyway.
Yeah, probably if any of you, or both of you.
The suspense is killing me.
Okay, so I really liked it sitting in the theater watching the movie. I had a good, you know, it was fun, lots going on. But later, afterwards, thinking about it, I went, "Wow, there were a whole lot of problems with this movie." From little things like it had no plot, it had no storyline.
It had a thin plot.
It had, not really. From the beginning into the end, what was the plot?
Spider-Man has problems. He's trying to rectify the fact that he made a promise to George Stacy he wasn't going to see Gwen.
Yeah,
and when he finally says, screw it, I'm going to see Gwen, she went splat. That was a plot.
Yeah, boy meets girl, boy falls in love with girl. Boy doesn't want girl to die, girl dies. You know, that was...
I didn't think about it that much.
Yeah, no, but I was just thinking about it because people want to talk about it now.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, sitting there, I enjoyed it, but then I thought, when I started thinking back, I'm like, what was Electro's story? And it really wasn't...
He was a crazy stalker that...
Who got mad and didn't like Spider-Man later because he didn't wish him happy birthday.
That was the reason why he hated
Spider-Man. Yeah, and it just...
I mean, it was almost like he blamed Spider-Man for the cops shooting him. Well, wait a second, dude. You got electricity sparking, you're shooting electricity at people throwing cars, cops tend to react to that. Spider-Man had nothing to do with it. Spider-Man yelled, "Hey, don't shoot him. He's my friend," and they shot.
Yeah, so but just the whole Electro thing was just weird. Like, it wasn't even like he wanted to be a bank robber and was stopped. It just, he got these powers, and all of a sudden he decided, well, I hate Spider-Man, generically, so then nothing. He didn't really do anything after that.
That was my complaint about the first movie, though. There was nothing to it. Like, it just, it had the simplest story.
Mm-hmm.
Just nothing to get it from here to here to here. Yeah. None of the characters.
But this didn't. This was like a
only a few of the characters mattered.
A collection of, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we had Spider-Man fight Electro like this? Okay, and what about
this?
It was
a collection of action sequences.
Yeah, there wasn't a real big narrative or strong thread. The other thing I didn't like was the. Now I realized the reason for it was to have to build up their love interest and everything, but. The long talks between Peter and Gwen. I'm sitting next to a 9-year-old who's starting to spin in his seat because they're going on for 10-15 minutes of nothing happening other
Spider-Man
than them
beat somebody up. Yeah.
Something needed to happen. I
kind of felt that way about the subplot with it. He was looking for information on his family.
Right.
It's okay.
And he just got really emo. Oh my gosh, my dad's a traitor. Oh, I hate my dad. Don't even call me Parker anymore.
Yeah,
and then, oh, wait, I find a calculator that has 18 pounds of coins in it.
And I never
noticed before. That because it's just a calculator. Things that just don't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
I know I read stuff online, people criticizing it, that they could have taken out the entire storyline with Peter's parents, and it wouldn't have changed the movie.
No, it really wouldn't. Whatsoever. It just wouldn't have been 2.5 hours. It would have been a two-hour movie.
It could have stood for some. I liked it on the most part. I liked it a lot more than the first one, which I only saw one time. But it just seemed like that first one was just filmed in the dark the entire time. This one was a lot lighter to me, and I like that.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I really liked about it, and as opposed to the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies, when he was Spider-Man and he was fighting somebody, he was making quips. He was being Spider-Man. He was being that character.
A lot of people said that.
Whereas
like that jokey lightheartedness.
Yeah, because they were showing Spider-Man 2 on FX, and I hadn't seen that movie in years, and I'm watching. He's fighting Doc Ock, and he's quiet the whole time.
Yeah, that's.
It's like no, that's not Spider-Man.
That's a big improvement. And he wasn't taking his mask off every 5 seconds like Tobey Maguire was too.
He's like. Yeah, I mean, isn't the whole point of the mask so no one knows who you are? Instead, you just take it off and show it to everybody. Like, he showed his face to the one kid in the first movie to get him out of the chair and move up. But right. Other than that, mask stayed on. Yeah. So that was good.
The whole thing about the parents, though, I'm just not... I can care less. Like, that's... Spider-Man's story had never anything to do with this. His parents.
Right.
Like, hardly.
Yeah, they just...
And I just look at that... Well, all I can see is that they're trying to almost do the ultimate story where his parents were something, and his dad was, like, a scientist who helped create the symbiote. And I feel like that might be the direction they might be going to, mm-hmm. because something's going
to
lead them.
Well, they definitely
referred
to that
Venom.
In the first one. It showed that he had something to do with Venom.
Yeah,
there was some of his notes and stuff.
It was kind of interesting. Like in the Ultimate story, I kind of like the Ultimate story, to tell you the truth, where the thing's not from space that they created. It was some sort of cure for cancer that they were working on. And he was working with Eddie Brock Sr. So they separated the character into two people: Eddie Brock Sr. and Eddie Brock Jr. And both of them die on a plane crash when, I think it rocks him, I think, takes the plane down. And Peter finds the stuff, and he figures out, who was working on it. So he tracks down Eddie Brock Jr., who is basically the Eddie Brock that we all would know. And he's a scientist as well, and he has, his father's project of what he was working on, and it ties, this together with the lizard and all sorts of things.
Okay.
And, Carnage in the Ultimate Universe is basically a lizard DNA with
the symbiote.
And that's why he's kind of more of a vicious, character, which I always thought was kind of neat, but And the video game tied into that, the Ultimate Spider-Man video game, tied into the story for the symbiote. But I feel like that's the direction they're going with these movies, because all the movies seem to be going, it doesn't even matter if it's Marvel. Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's Marvel Studios or if it's Sony or whatever. They're going in the direction of the Ultimates because it's already written for them. It's already modernized, you know.
Yeah.
But then just Bleeding Cool had an article today talking about, shouldn't they make the Ultimate Universe based on the Marvel Studio stuff? So instead of trying to revamp it over and over again when it keeps dying.
Yeah.
I mean, I had three people drop Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man today. They're like, no, I'm out. You know, I'm tired of the reboots. It's like, okay, so...
Okay.
But, so, you know, shouldn't they do that? But I'm like, well, wait a minute. The movies are based on the Ultimate, that they're changing the regular Marvel Universe into, and now you want to have a new book. It's like...
Yeah.
Marvel's... adapting themselves, yeah, adapting themselves to the movies when they shouldn't be. The movies should be based on the comics.
Yeah.
But...
And I think it's going to hurt them in the future more than now. You know, I think it's going to hurt them now, but I think it's going to really hurt them in the future when these movies die off and people mm-hmm. are coming back looking for these stories and they're like, I don't care about all these stories anymore.
If I want to see this story, I'll go watch the movie.
I'm just go watch the movie. Why am I going to worry about that? So I don't... think they really know what they're doing. They do enough that they know how to make the movies and they know how to make them work and people can watch them, but the people doing the comic books don't seem to like know anymore what they're doing. It's all just they're trying too hard to make it to jump on the bandwagon mm-hmm. to make the money mm-hmm. off of the movies. It's just like, it's not going to happen that way. You got your comic book audience, you have your movie audience, and you might get some of your comic book audience, but
like, then we don't have a Shield comic book, which makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, if you're trying to do that.
Oh, would you get Ward and all these people? Yeah. It's just like, okay, who's going to pick this up? It's a comic book reader. Yeah. You know, instead, you know.
And people that read comic books don't like the show.
Right, but at least if somebody, hey, I really like the Shield, what do you have? I don't have anything. You know, I don't have a single book I can put in their hands.
Sold out of your cheese Funkos. And
yeah, well,
I'd love
yeah.
to see a comic with the Shield cast and stuff. I mean,
they could even have.
Hopefully,
the comic.
They could use some more characters besides Deathlok.
Yeah, who was the name drop last night? Yeah, I didn't catch anybody.
Oh, you made that up. Okay, I was really hoping for Wood God.
I made that up.
I'm just trying to think of obscure 70s characters.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure we'll get it. Yeah. I can't say I'm making it up enough.
Okay, well, hang on. We're not talking about you. Hang on. Let's go back to Spider-Man real quick. The more I think about it, because everybody wants to talk about it, so I'm thinking probably a little more than you guys have. I feel like the script needed one more edit, because there was a lot in that didn't make sense that I wish wasn't there. Like the crazy German scientist who...
Kafka
with the thick German accent who liked torture. Well, gosh, yeah, you could have lived without that. And also, how does shocking a guy made out of electricity actually hurt him? I didn't understand that one at all.
I don't know.
He's made out of electricity.
It depends on how much electricity he can take. I guess all of it. Because he's made of it.
That was the other problem. Because then later, they show him materializing out of thin air and shocking a guy. And then disappearing into an outlet. So clearly he's... And then the end of it ends with them overloading him because he's a battery. I'm like, how can he be a battery if he's just pure electricity that can travel on wires?
There's nothing that's holding
it. That just didn't make sense. You know, it didn't jive. But yeah, that Kafka character, every time you saw him, it was just... This is just so cheesy. This is Joel Schumacher level... character.
Chill out.
Yeah, and Ravencroft basically being Arkham Asylum. Yeah.
Was that even a thing?
The Rhino was a disaster.
Was Ravencroft ever a place?
I've never heard of it. Somebody said that it was mentioned, that's where they were taking the lizard in the first one.
Yeah, that was where they took the lizard.
I didn't remember that. The whole scene with Harry, because at one point Harry realizes that he has this disease, that he's dying immediately. He has like 2 days to live or whatever. And he needs Spider-Man's blood. And Peter won't give him his blood because it might kill him. Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense since he has 2 days to live. But then he actually, in Peter, Harry asks Peter to have get it from Spider-Man.
Get it from Spider-Man,
since
yeah.
he clearly knew Spider-Man because he had taken a picture of him once.
Yeah.
And then Peter shows up as Spider-Man to talk to Harry and tell him he won't give him the blood, which then makes Harry so mad that he vows vengeance on Spider-Man. And that's what then turns him against Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, it made more sense.
And it's just
sense.
One of those, why would you even bother going and talking to him? What possible good could that do? I didn't understand. That whole scene, I was sitting there looking at going, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, at least in the first set of Spider-Man movies, Harry's hatred for Spider-Man made sense. He saw his father dead.
Right.
Playing Spider-Man because he was standing there with the... Okay,
but Spider-Man
didn't do
anything to Harry other than not give him his blood.
Yeah, dude, that's a little creepy. I'm not going to give you a vial of my blood.
Yeah, so. But then he vows vengeance and throws stuff. You know, I will... So it was just... He was kind of
an emo character.
Oh, from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And the outfits and everything, I thought I was watching The Talented Mr. Ripley. It was all based, you know, 60s, his glasses, his hair. And he was
weird hair.
Well, and what sucks is, so you had both Osborns, neither of them had the hair, a very distinctive characteristic in the Osborn family.
I did wonder how
Do Peter... Do people actually have
how
that
Peter
hair?
And,
there's a picture online, you can find it, a guy has that hair.
I was going to say, I did wonder how Peter and Harry became friends in the first place.
Well, when they were 10... And then he's been gone for 10 years, and they're still best buds, bro. You know, fist bumps and all that. It's like, what?
Yeah. Well, I got what Peter's thing was. Hey, I just want to swing by. You were there for me with my parents.
Right.
So I kind of get his motivation.
Yeah.
And I get the part where he had to leave to go to boarding school, but I can't imagine him going to, you know, PS 222 in Queens.
Yeah.
You know, he... probably didn't live in Queens, didn't go to that type of school.
Mm-hmm. So how did they know each other? Yeah. Well, because in the comics they did. They went to the same high school. But yeah, just overall, I mean, just... it needed some rewriting. Some things that didn't make sense. Even like the end with Gwen, where the big thing was, you know, she decided, oh, I want to be with you, Peter. Okay, everything's good. Oh, I'm going to London.
Yeah.
If I get accepted into this program... And she has a meeting, and 15 minutes after that meeting, she's heading to the airport to fly to London. It's like, wow, that was fast.
Yeah, who's paying for this ticket?
Yeah, well,
normally...
Did you bring your... I didn't notice your luggage.
Yeah, did you have a passport with
you? Yeah, it was...
Does he ever work for the Daily Bugle?
No.
Not yet.
Why?
No, because they haven't...
They do mention it.
They didn't cast J. Jonah, so they had nothing to do with the Bugle.
It's like impossible after the last one.
Well, he was freelancing for the Bugle because there was emails back and forth.
Yeah.
I don't think they can top J.K. Simmons, though, as J. Jonah Jameson.
Just rehire him. Have him do it again.
Yeah, I mean, that was perfect casting.
His show's about to get canceled, so, you know.
His second show. It's not another show, not that long
ago. Okay. But, just, I don't know. I wanted to like it, and like I said, I liked it sitting there, but afterwards thinking about it, like the whole, why in the world did they cast Paul Giamatti as the Rhino? When it could have been nameless nobody and would have changed it in no way.
Well, because if you're going to do the Sinister Six and you want Rhino to be part of the Sinister Six, you don't want to get no-name somebody to play the character.
But you have Paul Giamatti playing a Russian thug.
I think I did read that he was a fan of the character of the Rhino.
Okay, but it just seems because I'm like, I can't.
As crazy as that is,
criteria.
Yeah, yeah. I like the character. I'll play. I mean.
It was just very...
The Gibbon was in it, right?
The Gibbon was not in it. That would have been one villain too many. But it just... And the Goblin and Electro really had nothing to do together other than, I hate Spider-Man, so do I. Neither of them really had a valid reason for hating Spider-Man.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Okay.
Well, but Harry needed Electro. I don't know. Plato, I think. Something like that.
Sun Tzu.
Yeah. Harry needed Electro to get back into Oscorp.
Right.
So I get why he went to Electro. But
then all of a sudden he has an outfit made of unstable molecules?
Yeah,
when did that happen?
Yeah, that part I didn't get. Like, was that just hanging out there? Because they were going to find Special Projects, so they hadn't gotten in there yet.
Special Projects. Where in Marvel, everything's code, you know, Project Tahiti and all this stuff. Oscorp's Special Projects unit is called Special Projects, or Secret Projects, or whatever it was. It was just like...
Seriously?
Nobody thought of, you know, saying this is, you know, Operation Unicorn or whatever, Project Pegasus. That would have been cool.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is very stealthy on their name.
But right, but yeah, Pegasus, Secret Projects. Yeah. That was a great name. And then his assistant is Felicia. It's like...
But she had black hair.
Yeah.
That's okay. She wore a wig.
What about Ultimate Felicia?
They all wore wigs, though. And none of them had gray hair. I think she had blonde, though.
Yeah, she's
white,
blonde
originally, but then she wore a white wig.
But, yeah, just...
Which doesn't make any sense. How does a character do all these acrobatic moves while wearing a ridiculously long white wig?
Really, that's the part that... to get you.
What?
Not that a teenage girl is somehow a master thief and no one knows it.
No, that makes sense because they have the whole story. She's a, she's, her father is, was
a master
was a cat
thief.
Burglar.
Right.
Yeah. Taught her everything.
But there were parts I liked. I enjoyed how he tried to balance his real life with being Spider-Man. You know, they got that to you right at the beginning where he's about to miss his high school graduation because he's dealing with
the rhino
and a plutonium shipment and stuff. Which was cool. And that part was good. The Spider-Man stuff I enjoyed.
It was cartoony, but not overboard.
That was fun. The Peter Parker stuff was just very annoying. Just the
I think that is a lot of my problem though with the last movie. It was very all the talk between him and Gwen, and then you had all these scenes that they were just talking all the time. Then finally, when they got the Spider-Man, the Lizard, like that scene where he builds a web and the pipe in, and then he's trying to have tripwires to set and everything to know where he's coming from. I was like, that's a good idea. But just the stuff, both in the back. I'm not to say that he doesn't play a good Peter Parker, which he does. It's just they talk a lot, and they were all so dramatic all the time. And it's just after a while, I was just like,
well, it was a lot of I can't be with you because you're in danger, and I love you too much to let you be in danger.
The first movie, they did the exact same stuff back and forth.
Yeah, and then he keeps seeing Captain Stacy, who's looking disapprovingly at him all the time.
I keep calling it Spider-Man for the Twilight Generation. Because it is. I mean, it's basically they're trying to get that audience, that type of an audience. So they are going to have more conversation between these two and all this drama between them. And it's just like, it's just not what I'm looking for in Spider-Man.
I just want to see a 2-hour movie where he never takes the costume off, he's making jokes and beating up bad guys.
And I like the originals. I do like the original Sam Raimi versions of Spider-Man. I think they just... And you're right about the what you were saying about the quips. He didn't do very many of them. And when Tobey Maguire did do them, they were really cheesy. Mm-hmm, like, I remember they had one that was like, he's like, it's you who's out, Gobby, out of your mind. And it's just like, what does that mean? Like, exactly. Why is that? You know, so they're not even funny quips. But it did kind of feel like a comic book, like when you were watching it. And Sam Raimi does a good job of, making stuff feel like that because, with it, even his horror movies and stuff like that.
They're very comic booky.
Yeah, they're very comic booky. So I think it had kind of this cheesiness that even though he did say that, well, back in the 60s, he probably would have said something like that. Stan Lee probably would have wrote something like that. It just felt like a comic to me, and I think that's why I really liked them, except for the third movie, which was just awful. But the second Spider-Man movie is just a good movie.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
And, a lot of people cannot say it isn't. Like, I'll tell people, that. I've never heard somebody disagree with me on that.
Even now, it's still, if you watch it now, holds up.
Yeah. That's what I said. I watched it the other day. It was on Sunday, and
I forget the guy's name. It plays Doc Ock. It's
Molina,
He did a great job.
Yeah.
And what's funny about the original Spider-Man movies, Sam Raimi took these characters, they took good people, turned them bad, but in the end, they were the ones who sacrificed, to live. Even the third movie, Sandman did the exact same thing. Goblin, Norman Osborn really was turned by the serum.
Yeah.
It wasn't really him. And the bad guy, frankly, the bad guy in that first movie was that wormy-looking stockholder that was just like, yeah, you know, they kicked him out. Yeah. And he was the bad guy because he was rushing him in that army sergeant, you know? And that's what turned them into the goblin.
Raimi did a good job of making them complex villains.
Yeah.
They weren't just the cookie cutter.
Yeah, you know, he developed.
I hate you because I hate you.
Yeah. So, more the villains than I think Spider-Man, to tell you the truth. Yeah. He was able to, you know, with Doc Ock was a kind of a decent person. And he was torn apart by, his wife being killed. And
when the thing got fused, it was he wasn't really in his...
It screwed up his brain. But at the end of the movie, he was the one who saved the day, you know? So I just don't think a lot of people look at that too much. But, I mean, they had to do... They did something mainly because of the... mainly because of that third movie. The third movie, I mean, I can't say the third movie was just horrible, but it just...
Parts were good. It just... The Eddie Brock Venom thing...
It had some issues. Ruined it.
Yeah, I don't think of Eric Foreman when I think of Venom.
I don't see that him either. I don't...
The
I've
Sandman thing wasn't very good either.
Well, what I really didn't like about that was... Okay, so we saw what happened in the first movie. We saw it was not the Sandman. Mm-hmm. And then they changed it. No, now it was the Sandman. Like, okay, that was crap. And then once he got the symbiote on him, you could have cut out that middle third of the movie, you know, when he was emo disco dancing down the street and all that. Yeah. That just didn't belong.
Well, once I saw that third movie and how he gets the symbiote, I'm just like, are you serious? Like, they're just sitting there and a meteorite crashes? Who wrote that? Like, you know, how many villains can you create saying a meteorite crashed, you know, or something? Like, it's just...
I think that was, like, the cartoon, wasn't it?
What? He might have, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think on the cartoon it was, like, J. Jonah Jameson's son crashed the shuttle.
It had a lot to do with J. Jonah Jameson and bringing back the... But, and then the Sandman thing was very random, but his character was the kind of... guy who saves the day in the end, sacrifices his life for whatever he did.
He was the character when they had the trailers for that movie. Uh-huh. I thought, oh, this is gonna be really hokey with him in the movie. But he ended up being the one that... I mean, it was a good.
He
villain.
Was better was than
character.
Venom.
Yeah.
And
one and Harry as the other goblin. That was a little.
It was kind of. I didn't know where they kind of.
And
I mean,
at the,
see where
at
it
the end of the day,
it's
was
been preparing since the first movie, but it just seemed really odd that even Harry Osborn, like, how is he even going to control any of this technology? Like, he's all of a sudden a smart person.
Well, that happened in the new one, where all of a sudden he injects himself with the stuff and he turns into the goblin, and then he just happens, oh, look, right in front of me is this glider and this suit, and it was very
out.
Yeah.
But and William Dafoe did a good job as the Green Goblin, I think.
I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I just love some of his lines.
He plays a good crazy guy.
I always loved in his costume when they get rid of the eyes, when they come up, and you see his eyes and teeth and the smile behind the mask. Yeah. And I'm just like,
And I guess a lot of people didn't like the look of his
goblin. A lot of
people
didn't.
I didn't like the mask.
I actually liked it. I
didn't mind it.
I thought it looked fine.
I mean, I think it fits into a non-comic book world because if, you know... Are we going to create technology for stuff and we're going to have a cloth goblin mask?
Yeah, like, no, it
they had this suit, and then he created a mask to go with it, thinking later on. I'm sure that the goblin mask wasn't for the military, but...
that'd be pretty cool if it was.
But the whole thing about it is, if the studio just would have left it alone and let him do his thing, we would have had John Malkovich as the Vulture. And I think that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
But we're never going to see that.
Did he want to do Venom in the third movie, right?
No, that's
he didn't want to do
that's
it. The studio said everybody likes Venom.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, that just goes
I think that was kind of the same problem that Green Lantern had, is all of a sudden the studio
got
their fingers involved, and that's when everything crashed.
Green Lantern was movies where I think the editing room is what killed it.
Okay.
I think if that movie was edited a different way, it would have been a very different end result.
But, I think if they'd have spent more time in space, that would have
helped.
Talk
about a movie that has a lot of villains as well.
Yeah. But, I thought that the guy in the boardroom was going to end up being the Vulture.
Or somebody. Did they even name him?
No.
I don't remember his
name. No, I don't think they did. But he has a very vulturous look.
But
they
name dropped, he might still. They name dropped.
They killed him.
He died?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Harry killed him.
They name dropped Alistair Smythe,
yeah,
you know, for no apparent reason. He just seemed like just a
random DB,
random guy.
Yeah.
Don't you you mentioned Smythe, but you don't even mention you don't mention J. Jonah Jameson yet.
Like, well, he was in an email.
Oh. And he said
he emailed a picture and basically said, "Stop being so hard on Spider-Man." And he responded that going wrong.
No. Yeah, Spider-Man's not so bad. Like 2 seconds later, wrong. Okay.
I don't know.
But yeah, it was weird thinking after the movie. Just like I said, you enjoyed it, afterwards, like, you find his father's secret lab that he sacrificed him and his wife to get this file transferred to the secret lab, and it ends up just being a video of him saying, "I'm not a bad guy."
Well, but the thing was, it was a secret lab, but it was still an Oscorp lab. So how come no one from Oscorp knew where it was?
I don't
know. Like, you know, this kid figured it out, but no one there.
Yeah, well, because they didn't have the magical calculator with the subway token.
You know, anymore with movies, these movies, I don't think we're allowed to think too much into them anymore.
No, and that's true, too. I mean, Colin's right. Sitting there, I enjoyed the movie a lot.
Yeah.
And even afterward, I mean, if I overthink it, I'm
going
to hate it.
Yeah, well, not so much overthinking, but just going, well, wait a minute, that didn't make sense. Wait, what about, you know, just... I didn't have that with Cap. After Cap, I was like, well, that was really good.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
If it makes you do that, then you really didn't. It failed somewhere.
Yeah.
It didn't help. The after credit scene was just ridiculous. It was an X-Men scene, which is fine that it was X-Men, but the scene itself was basically, they said, okay, here, let's take 45 seconds out of, or minute and a half, whatever it was, out of the movie. And it was just a random minute and a half. With no context or anything. It was bizarre.
I didn't stay for that because I knew that it was unrelated, and I'm like, I got to pee after a 2.5-hour movie.
It wasn't that far into it. It wasn't all the way at the end.
Okay, I thought it was going to be all the way at the end.
No.
There's an X-Men scene at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mark Webb owed Fox a movie, so in order to direct Spider-Man,
maybe they shouldn't have.
Sony had to agree to freely promote X-Men, and so that's how they did it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to be a Spider-Man X-Men crossover.
So we're like, how is Fox's X-Men and Sony's Spider-Man?
Which would be great. You could have Spider-Man and his amazing friends, the movie.
Oh.
Who's going to... Lion?
Money.
Yep.
I saw a little dog in the first issue of Amazing Spider-Man that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, there's Ms. Lion. You know?
Oh, and there was there was one bizarre scene that I don't think anybody could have thought through. It didn't make any sense. It was after Gwen dies. Aunt May's there with a box, and it's the remnant, all the
it was
everything she had that reminded her of Ben,
Uncle Ben, yeah.
And basically said, you know, sometimes you just got to pack your stuff up and get rid of it.
She's not getting rid of it.
But she's shoving it away. It's like, yeah, you don't want to remember the happy times. No, shove everything away. It's like, what kind of message is that? So he got rid of all of his Gwen pictures and everything.
Take all your sadness and just
reminded him of Gwen.
Inside.
It was just very. It was just.
I don't think that's healthy, Aunt May.
No, I don't think so either.
It may.
You know, I'm sitting there thinking, when she said, "We don't have a chimney," and he went, "What?"
That explains why there's no pictures of the bandit anywhere. You're not smoking in the bandit.
I got it. I don't know why he's brought it up. Okay. But now that we've been bashing on Marvel, who saw The Shield? Or Marvel's Agents of Nothing? Because Shield no longer exists, as was stated plainly by Kobe Smolder. Agent, I forget what's her name.
Agent Maria Hill.
Maria Hill. But she's now she's agent of CIA.
She's an employee of Stark.
Stark, that's right. I'm sorry. Well, didn't somebody on the CIA? It was, what's her name?
The FBI went
May's mother is CIA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, May's a local girl. She's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. She also works on the, I'm saying she works on the show. She is a writer.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, I was reading that on Wikipedia.
We can blame
she's
her.
One of the creators of the show.
Well, that would make sense why she's the only interesting character.
Yeah. Pretty sure of that. You have to go read that. Look it up.
No, I don't.
Use the internet.
No.
That's what it's for. Colin, you're drawing new shapes today.
I am.
Some of those aren't shapes you
draw. Shield's getting somewhere, although it was very interesting.
It's getting somewhere. It's the end of the
they
season.
They introduced Extremis into it now. Now it turns out it's not the Caterpillar, it's actually Extremis.
Yeah.
So that's why they explode.
No, oh, that I was didn't one, put that no, together. That was when they had the nobody explosive exploded. Behind the eye.
Yeah. They right, but that, he can overload.
They packed C4 behind their eye. That's why they explode.
No. That's the trigger. But the, now, they from, overload like, themselves. The they explode.
Yeah.
That's why.
Oh yeah. You're right. Yeah, in the first episode.
And that's Extremis. They did that with Extremis.
But yesterday was like when she injected him with whatever the Tahiti stuff was. As soon as he turned that color, it's first words in my mouth. Really? Now it's Extremis? Come on.
Is Tahiti stuff Extremis?
No, because it's blue, not orange.
It's Cree blood.
Yeah. Well, I think they said it was Cree.
Did they finally say that? Because they have mentioned a bunch that's of right, alien no. races.
Because they asked Sif what races are blue.
And one of them was Cree. Yeah. I'm going to say it's going to be Cree. Of all those races that they mentioned, yeah, it will be Cree. It also, if they want to tie it in the Inhumans, then it'll be Cree.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, then you can bring in Miss Marvel at some point, too.
Why not?
I still think Skye should have been Spider-Woman.
Can I? She might be, you know. Because they keep talking about her, like they were talking about her parents in this one. It sounds like parents were mutants or miracles or whatever they want to call them.
They were monsters.
Monsters. So that means she has something, and now she's injected with this. She's obviously going to become something.
Something, yeah.
Miracles.
But that maybe that'll happen right on the finale of the season. Or the season
stuff
finale.
Me out. It really does.
Well, yeah, because she works miracles. For S.H.I.E.L.D., which was really Hydra, so she works
so
for Hydra.
I mean, she's AIM. Yeah. No, wait.
Where the hell's MODOK and all this?
I can't wait. Well, according to Colin, he was up in the ceiling of that building.
Yeah. Well, no, somebody said, wouldn't Patton Oswalt have made a perfect MODOK? Just that face would have been huge. Yeah.
He's too busy being Penguin.
Penguin?
He was on that YouTube
Bad
video.
Man meets Batman. Oh. Yeah.
They had some trailers to Gotham.
I saw that. I like that. Everybody seems to be poo-pooing it already.
Well,
really?
Oh, it's only going to be canceled after 6 issues, apparently. Or 6 episodes.
Okay.
That's the problem with being in the comic books. You keep calling issues, episodes, episodes, issues. People are mad about the mustache.
About the mustache?
Commissioner Gordon does not have a mustache, supposedly.
Huh?
Yeah, I guess.
He's also not 50.
No,
in the show.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, yeah.
I
was going to say, have I been reading a different Batman? Because I read, he has a mustache.
Well, that's the problem. In the TV show, he doesn't have one. But it's also a younger commissioner.
Yeah.
Much younger.
Yeah, you know, maybe.
And he does have red hair.
But Batman's not going to be in it, so you know what it's going to be like without Batman. What's it going to be?
Stupid.
That's right.
Stupid. Batman's in it. He's just a little kid.
Yeah.
Stupid. It's going to be stupid.
He's a little kid Batman.
Stupid. Who wants to watch a show without Batman?
Bat Kid. Batmite.
Yeah, it's Batmite.
It's going to be stupid.
I wish Batmite was on it.
No, but they were showing, like, they got Catwoman and
Penguin,
Riddler, and Poison Ivy.
How do they get Catwoman when
she's a kid?
But
she's
a kid,
and, you know, she's standing here with the goggles on her head, and like, oh, okay, that's supposed to be Catwoman.
She's a little bit older than Bruce in the show.
Why do people have, like, I don't understand, with the success of Arrow and stuff like that, why do they think it's not going to...
People are just mad at Fox because they
I'm mad at
well, because they canceled DC, Serenity. They're still mad about that 10 years later.
Actually, there's a lot of shows, though, that Fox cancels it.
The X-Files was
have
on
no
for
reason
10 years
cancel.
And Fringe. And
they could just cancel it because it's good. This is Fox we're talking about. They will do that.
Yeah.
I was watching a few shows on Fox and they just canceled them.
Terminator got good. They canceled that. Dollhouse started to get good at the end once they just stopped concentrating on her being a whore.
If it's not Glee or American Idol, they're just going to keep her around, you know?
Wrong demographic.
Yeah. Constantine looks good.
I haven't seen it. No, I just saw that
just
one picture.
I haven't seen the images. I'm just like, they got him at least looking like John Constantine.
I don't get that. I mean, it's TV. They can't really have him smoke.
Yeah, I don't get that.
So that
they can. Why can't they?
They're not.
Standards and practices pretty much won't let, unless it's on
really?
At like 10 o'clock. No, network TV doesn't let you smoke.
Oh.
Which it, that one
be
could
be
on at 10 because you're not really...
used to be able to.
Used to be able to do a lot of things, Colin.
Yeah.
Kids aren't really fans of Constantine. That's more of an adult demographic anyways.
So, I mean, I saw some of that, what was it, Dracula or whatever that new show was on?
Yeah.
Damn, I mean, it
you
was...
Get away, oh, no, you can get
away
with violence
with a lot.
And sex and vulgarity.
Yeah.
Just,
no smoking.
Yeah,
no
smoking. No
smoking, okay, fair enough. Sounds like Marvel.
Marvel's owned by Disney. You'll never see anybody smoke. You're not allowed to
not
smoke.
Even the mouse.
Yeah, you're not allowed to smoke in Disney. That's it. They had to, because Walt Disney was a chain smoker, so when they made the movie with Tom Hanks, they had to show it without showing him smoking. It's like
okay.
An ashtray,
that
and things like that.
He did a few things in the movie that involved smoking, like they talked about it
right.
in the movie. That he was trying to quit or something like that. Any other shows?
Arrow
was it was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
That end scene with the bridge. I think Thea needs to just shut up.
Yeah.
She
needs to move. Like,
well,
just tell
her dad's coming. She'll be okay. And then she's gonna be
Merlin Jr.
Mini Arrow.
Mini Merlin.
Do you think that he's gonna lose his they're gonna lose their base under the bar?
Well, it sure looks like it since they just repossessed it or whatever.
What if they kill that girl
Ravager.
At the end of this? Yeah.
But he has a new place.
Okay, can I just say that her costume was ridiculous?
Yeah.
When she comes out, she has
Deathstroke mask.
The eyes, and it's just like her eyes looked really big. Or no, they didn't look big. Everything around it looked big, and they looked small, like in the middle.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I can't take that seriously at all. Like, when Deathstroke comes out, that's why Deathstroke doesn't have eyes on the mask.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was a little much. But the episode was good.
I like the second half. The first half of the episode, I was bored. It just seemed like the same thing over again. Oh, I gotta do what's best for my family. It was dragging on.
It did for a little long, yeah.
I'm sitting in a new place where I can sit. I'm not even going to
my
mom's funeral.
That's the only thing that... He's going to move into this new base or something.
Yeah, that's,
but I wouldn't think he would because now he knows that Amanda Waller knows where it is, so you think he'd be like, I got to find another secret base.
Yeah, but at this point, everybody knows he's Arrow. He like every week he tells somebody new, so they'll figure it out.
Yeah, somebody new keeps walking in. They're like, we got to get a new place.
Somebody change the locks or something.
That's right. But it was a good episode. We watched... How many people watched... Son of Batman.
I did.
Did not.
No. I watched it. It was good. It wasn't as good as the book. The book was a lot better. But it is a Grant Morrison book, so.
Hard to translate.
Yeah. It just, there's a lot of weird things. Basically, in this book, it was Deathstroke was trying to take over the League of Assassins because he was like Ra's al Ghul, or Ra's al Ghul. They called him Ra's throughout
Ra's,
which I thought was cool because that's what I used to call him, and then everybody started calling him Ra's again.
Well, yeah, because in Batman Begins, they called him
Ra's.
He was going to be the heir apparent, and then Batman came along.
He became more interested in Batman,
yeah.
So it was just like, yeah. But he comes in, kills Ra's, and... Damian is very upset about this because that was his grandfather or something, and
he wanted
revenge. So Talia takes him to Batman to learn from Batman and to protect him somewhat.
Yeah.
While she goes and tries to sort of things out and take on Deathstroke, but then she gets kidnapped, and a lot of Damian things, a lot of But the only thing is, like, it didn't totally feel like Damian because there's only so much violence you can do. But I'm serious, there was more blood in that movie than needed to be in that movie, like. And then there was this scene where they throw knives. Deathstroke throws knives into Damien's arms.
Yeah, he like pins him to a wall. Yeah,
and Damien pulls off. And you cannot do that. You can't drag a handle of a knife through your arm without creating a whole bunch of damage. But they did it. But I mean, the book. I always recommend the book over the cartoon. Scott Snyder. Grant Morrison in the special features mentioned something cool, which I thought it was funny because he kind of, in the special features on their movie, he kind of dismissed something that they did. He was just like, they did something stupid. He said that he didn't want to call the book Son of Batman. He wanted to call it Batman and Son because it had more of a family feel to it.
Uh-huh.
Because then you're talking about, Batman and Son. It was both of them. When you say Son of Batman, it sounds like the title
is about
Batman, and it's not the same thing. And I was just like, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, he had some comment for Dick Grayson when he was going after the Robin costume, like, I'm his blood son, not you. Or...
Yeah, it was weird. It was, it's all, they obviously didn't want to use Tim Drake at all.
Yeah.
And it, which that's who he got into that argument with and that. And it seemed odd that Dick Grayson was in these arguments with him, because we all know how him and Dick Grayson were in the books. Like, they right. weren't like that at all. So, I don't know, as a comic book reader, knowing this stuff, I found it a little odd in that, but as a movie, I thought it was good. I mean, it was a decent story, and a different take on the character. Unlike that Justice League War, which I didn't really like too much. I thought it was kind of boring. I thought.
But I'm ready for him to bring Damian back.
And then the next one looks good. On. The next one's kind of more of a Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it's
movie.
the Arkham Assault or something like that.
Arkham Assault, yeah. And it's basically the Joker steals information from Argus,
mm-hmm.
and they send in the Suicide Squad to deal with it. And it also has Batman and what he has to do.
I gotta wait till July.
It's a long time.
I know. December. 2 months away.
It starts in July. It wraps up in December, and Mossy said December is when you'll see the next Robin.
The Blu-ray, too.
I can't wait that long.
So it'll be this and then the regular Batman Robin, then Alpha in December.
Okay.
Alphas and Omegas? Oh, they're doing it different. Omega and
Omega. Omega first, then Alpha.
Yeah. Switching around.
But the interview...
That's a very Marvel thing to do.
Comic Vine had an interview with him, and just the way he kept talking, he was saying, like, the next Robin. So... I'm starting to think less and less that it's going to be Damian coming back.
Yeah. Or he might come back and not be the Robin.
Yeah.
At all. I keep thinking that's what it's going to be.
Maybe he'll be the new Nightwing.
That's a possibility.
That's a good point.
That would be kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, him and Dick were close, and if Dick can't be Nightwing, maybe he'll just take up the mantle.
I'm going to take it that Batman knows that Dick isn't dead. Like, I think he's going to know that he's not, unlike everybody else. Because he's there. Like,
yeah.
He obviously is going to see that.
Well, there may end up being a scene where he's like, I know you got to do this, and, you know, just go. He may be the one who arranges the whole thing.
Yeah, that would be how Dick gets involved with Spiral.
Yeah.
The Justice League stuff, the future Justice League stuff for after all this looks really interesting. They're going to be doing stuff with Power Rang.
Yeah, that looks good.
And stuff like that. So I think it's going to be an interesting run after Forever Evil.
Yeah, two books in 1 month.
Yeah,
well, because late. They were behind a month, so I got to catch up.
They're catching it up.
I haven't looked at this yet. I didn't do my homework.
Oh, so well, you didn't have anything to do last week. I don't understand what's
Superman's
problem.
New yeah. outfit?
What?
I don't know.
Well, that's Future Zen Superman. I know.
Those sound good.
That looks like Stargirl. Or what's her name?
Starfire.
It's because she's orange.
Skimpy bikini.
Is it purple?
Oh, yeah. It could be. Doesn't she have little dots on her head, though? I thought Starfire had, like, two dots. Maybe the cartoon one has two dots.
Stop talking like that.
It does. She has two dots on her head.
You're nuts.
Some characters do.
You're out of it. You're crazy.
I don't know. Are we actually recording?
No, we have to start it.
You forgot?
All right, let's start the podcast.
Yeah, let's start this. That's a podcast.
No. So, books came out last week.
No, they didn't.
A big book came out last week.
Free comic books came out last week.
Yes, there were lots of free comics that I didn't read.
We could talk
hardly
about
any
a
of.
Couple of them.
Yeah, The Future's yeah. End.
Future's End.
Let's talk about The Future's End Zero. We're not going to spoil number one that came out today.
There's a lot of death.
Very brutal book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I had to put in the PG-13, especially because of the dismemberment of Batman.
Yeah.
And did you see who dismembered him? I thought that was interesting.
It was another Batman.
It was Batwing.
Batwing.
That's right.
Yeah.
So. But I thought
did
it was
you just
good.
Say Batwing?
I did say Batwing.
Batwing.
That's what it sounds like when he did it. He cut it off and said, Batwing.
So we were talking about this earlier when you were out playing Pac-Man.
Centipede, thank you very much.
Sorry.
Jeez.
I stand corrected. Centipede. So, when Jon Stewart gets assimilated, how does he still have the power ring? Why did that not fly off?
Yeah,
he has
I was
no
wondering
will.
That too.
Good
he
point.
Been dead.
Good point.
A lot of people are screwing up in DC.
Because that's stupid. How he killed Grifter and Amethyst was he wiped them out using the power ring.
He had a lot of good points on this.
Yeah, I was really thinking about that.
While you were thinking about Spider-Man, while he was watching Spider-Man, he was thinking about this. And that's why he was just like, what he saw was fine.
Yeah.
But he wasn't worried about what happened.
And Spider-Man, he's got some webs, all good. Why didn't the power ring fly away?
Why didn't the power ring fly away? Why didn't Amethyst?
Why didn't they assimilate Grifter and Amethyst?
Yeah. Why did they just decide to kill them?
Well, remember, there were some other dead ones on the beach. There were a couple other.
Yeah, it looked like Hal Jordan and Deathstroke.
Yeah. So
that was weird.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Deathstroke's always ended up on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, that's his role.
Whether it's TV or that.
He's a beach bum.
Nice vacations.
Yeah.
I always liked his character on that Teen Titans cartoon like a long time ago. I don't know. Something about him. We're talking about Deathstroke, I always liked that character. That's where they kind of introduced him to, reintroduced him. Because not a lot of people would know who Deathstroke was. And unless that cartoon was on.
But yeah, Futures, the Zero issue definitely set me up for wanting to read number one.
And I did like how number one was literally like the next page.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was well done. And there was more, Grifter was involved in it. It was good. I thought number one was good.
I wish more people, more companies would,
do weekly books?
Well, if they would do more free comic book day issues, they'd do stuff like that.
Yeah,
that is a jump in on.
That actually have something to do with the rest of the
books. It jumps onto it. Yeah, give the first issue out for free, you know, that, if you have free comic
book day. Another one, Epic. That did that too, and I read that.
I like that Epic.
That
I thought
good.
That was funny. And number one came out today, but... But like, sold one.
Did anybody read the free Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, I didn't.
I haven't, but I didn't read it yet.
I read it.
It was like, it was a reintroduction of all these characters again. So, like, how many times in 1 year are we going to be introduced to Guardians of the Galaxy?
Was there solely because of the movie.
Yep. Which I thought was funny. Newsarama had a thing on Facebook basically saying, Captain America did $700 million. What do you think Guardians of the Galaxy is going to do? And in the comments, they're like, $600, $550. I'm sitting there going, you guys don't get it.
If it's worldwide does $350, I'd be surprised.
Because I'm like, who's going to see this movie? No offense. Yes, the comic book people will.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's catching on. Oh, yeah, Bradley Cooper's in it. No, Bradley Cooper's voice is in it.
Yeah. Which the trailers haven't even shown.
Yeah, and now it's starting to, that was the other thing. They showed that trailer again before Spider-Man. And I'm like, guys, we've been seeing this since January.
Really?
Where's a new trailer for this?
Yeah.
And I saw it, and I was just bored. I'm like, okay, Ooga Chaka, ha ha ha. It was funny the first 80,000 times I saw it.
What a bunch of a-holes, and that's all you see. And it's just like, wow, this is the movie.
Yeah,
that's the tagline. What a bunch of a-holes.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a good trailer.
Marvel Studios presents What a bunch of a-holes.
Something new out there.
Yeah. And so,
it's hard to tell anymore, though.
It is, but I just don't see it.
I don't see it for me. Like, it doesn't really, it hasn't intrigued me yet enough that I'm just like, I'll go see it.
I mean, I want to see the second trailer. I kind of want to see a little bit more of it.
I mean, I've already seen three trailers for Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's Godzilla.
I finally get to see Godzilla in a trailer. He's in it.
Rodan's in it, too. Well, no, if you look at the international one, Rodan's in it, too.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. The funny thing about that trailer, or these trailers, they finally show Godzilla, and people have been, like, drawing him into, like, they had a height comparison for all of the Godzillas over the years, and, like, he is the biggest. Like, the rest of them are, like, half his size. Like, he's, like...
Well, yeah, he's too... Some of the Japanese critics are saying he's too fat.
Yeah, he is kind of fat. Like, he's, like, all neck, like...
He's
it's like the George Lucas of Godzilla. Like,
now
George Lucas is not going to listen to the podcast.
I don't think he does. He would have sold us to Disney.
Disney's going to sue us now. Great, way to go, Adam.
Well, no, he didn't sell the George Lucas name, so we can make fun of that. Not Star Wars. Disney will be more upset about that.
Why would you say that?
What?
Now you
I didn't say anything bad.
Now,
about
you owe Mickey a quarter now. You know that.
Yeah,
it's like saying the Super Bowl, you can't do that. Well, you said Star Wars, that's a quarter to the mouse.
Then again, we've all been talking about Marvel movies, so I guess it's a little late now.
Yeah. Besides, I mean, he made Howard the Duck and the aliens
that's true.
In Indiana Jones.
I wonder if he sold that back to him.
He made Howard the Duck?
Yeah. Yeah, George Lucas made Howard the Duck.
I mean, he didn't make the character.
But right, I never watched
the movie. Howard the Duck. Sorry. That was the song.
That's probably the only thing I remember about that movie.
I saw that in the theater, too.
I remember a lot about it, sitting there going, oh, my God. Being a big Howard the Duck fan.
Does he glow in the dark?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, but that comic, the Guardians of the Galaxy comic, really had nothing to, like, to say besides Venom's joining the team. And it has, like, Captain Marvel on the cover.
But Venom's, like, already in it. Yeah. Venom's already on the team, though. If you read the last issue.
Right, but this shows you how he got there.
Tony Stark was, like...
Yeah, he was just with Drax. He was...
Basically, yeah, it's true. Tony Stark in a meeting with Flash Thompson, and they, he keeps, like, telling, okay, this is this person, this is this person. So, do you want to join? And he's like, I guess I have no choice. And they're like, come in, guys. They came in. It reminded me of the end of The Labyrinth. You remember The Labyrinth when all the characters come in and they start having a party, like, in the office? And it's just like, where did this come from? Like, seriously, a raccoon walked in. It's just like that little dog from the movie.
How was Tony Stark in charge of recruitment?
Yeah.
Well, he was in the book for a while.
According to him,
Tony Stark's head of
HR. That's basically what it is. He's the HR guy of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I mean, he was just hitching around with him for a while there, and then suddenly was done and was back on Earth.
Well, according to what he says,
the Avengers need an envoy.
Yeah, they need somebody to represent Earth on the Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, right.
Venom's the guy you pick?
And they picked Venom. And then he gives them this thing. He's like, just in case you have any problems with Venom. It's just like, why did you let him call him if he's going to have problems?
Well, and why isn't Star-Lord...
Like, it's a ship. Like, it's not like a whole world.
Okay, so I have two questions.
It should have been Squirrel.
Why isn't... Yeah.
It should have been.
Why isn't Star-Lord the ambassador for Earth since he's half-Earthling?
That's a really good question.
Yeah. And since when is Venom an Avenger?
He was a secret Avenger.
That's not an Avenger. He's a secret Avenger.
You know what? It's hard anymore.
Everybody's an Avenger.
He was a secret Avenger.
That's not even like the JV team. It's like, here, we're going to pull somebody off the freshman team. Yeah, you're going to play with these guys.
He's military and stuff. Everybody's an Avenger anymore, Marvel.
Or secret boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah,
but
you're
don't
my
tell
girlfriend,
anybody.
But it's just keep between us right
Is
now.
Cyclops, was Cyclops an Avenger? No. He's probably the only one.
Well.
He's probably the only one.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get a membership card anytime soon.
No, I don't think so. Then again, who would want that?
That whole mutant revolution thing, probably.
Miracle.
Miracle Revolution.
He's a miracle. It just sounds stupid saying that. Like, you're just like miracles.
We're in the age of miracles.
Like, who are we? He's a miracle. Like, who? It just sounds like their moms are like talking about it. Like, they're miracles.
There's my little miracle with the lasers.
What if they do something horribly awful? Are they still miracles? Like, how do you say that? Like, if he creates, like causes a genocide, like, he's just like, that's a miracle doing that genocide. It's just like, how does this work?
He did his own C-section.
I don't know. I'm losing track of Marvel anymore.
Okay, here, there's one in your wheelhouse. Amazing Spider-Man number one.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
I liked having Peter back with the quips and everything. Yeah, that was something that I remembered. Yeah. I enjoyed
Spidey Whitey.
The people were just like, he's doing the quips. Yeah, he's back. Yeah. It's him. And then other people were just like, we hate you. And it's just like,
get out of here.
Their mind, like, what if they like him or not? Like, I don't know. Him back and not knowing anything.
But how did he... That I didn't understand, that he didn't know anything.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I guess that's when he was buried.
Well, he didn't know he was a doctor. He didn't know he owned Parker Industries. But it seemed like there was a couple months that took place in between the end of Superior Spider-Man and the beginning of Amazing, but he didn't find any of this out.
Yeah.
So what was he doing during those 3 months?
Do you want to know?
Not really. Based on my reading of number one, no, not especially.
I don't know. Just everything in that issue was just like nothing really that exciting happened besides a story that's going to happen about the Black Cat, and I was just like, okay, so she's mad.
And your favorite character found the engagement ring.
Yes, Anna Maria.
Anna Maria. Yeah. How's he gonna do that? Is he gonna just be like, no?
Hey, Slick. How long have you been Spidey?
Well, she knows. Well, yeah, I think that's how it's going to be. Yeah, he's going to be like, okay, guess what? I was Doc Ock the whole time. It wasn't really me. She's going to say, like, I heard that one before. Like, it's always Doc Ock.
Is this a hype thing? Is that what this is about? You're getting like, cold feet now?
He'll be like, yes.
You're afraid we're going to have a little person?
Not for Doc Ock. Doc Ock was kind of a little person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of get that, but...
and yeah.
Well. I feel like we should get off that subject.
Well, but here's the thing. Doc Ock kind of takes it where he can get it. Peter had Mary Jane. Yeah, I'm going to go there. Peter had Mary Jane, and now Anna Maria, that's kind of a drop-off, you know, in terms of quality.
Yeah, but he had Carly Cooper, so...
Yeah, but even she wasn't that bad.
Hi.
Can I still get something for my son?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
He had Carly Cooper.
Yeah?
So... Yeah, she was awful.
Yeah, but not...
Now she's like has crazy eyes.
You know... Let's inject you with goblin serum and let's see how your eyes turn out.
That's true. How does that happen? How does something that like scientifically mutate that they're her whole like it's all black, like right
and
there.
Crusty.
Like, does that mean they just like her eyeballs like swelled up or something, or did like I don't know. So it's just weirded me out.
She had a really bad case of pink eye or something.
That's what it seemed like. Like she had something really bad, but. I don't know, but the whole issue, and then the stuff with Electro, like, he's mad, so he tries to do his, like, biggest crime he ever's done, and that's attack Rikers, but Rikers isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Or is it Rikers or the Raft?
Yeah, the Raft.
The Raft, which is just a side section of Rikers. Yeah.
He's like, Goblin already did it, and it's not even the Raft anymore anyways.
So I'm going to do this prison here or something, so he attacks that one.
And then it goes poorly, and he's like,
and it goes bad.
Oh, I'll get you for this, Spider-Man.
Yeah. Just like, what?
That's like a 50
Spider-Man wasn't even in this.
Yeah, what exactly happened in that? I have no idea. I just... The whole issue, and then Inhumans was at the end, and I was just like, why did I pay this much for this book? Like, really, I didn't want the Inhumans. It was a really poor Electro story. And Spider-Man didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But say, hey, I'm back, guys, which we knew about in the last book. So what exactly...
It seems like the only things that are, like, lasting impact from Superior so far, and it's only number one, is just superficial stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing. But, you know, being a first issue, the whole thing about it is the first issue of this and the last issue of Superior Spider-Man were really downer.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. they shouldn't have been. And, they should have had at least something big happen. Something should have happened, but it didn't. Unless, and enough to make the price. Because none of that was worth the price. It really wasn't.
No.
Yeah, I wasn't... Sorry. I'm zooming back in.
Colin's back.
I'm back. Oh, sorry. I had to deal with my tenant.
Sound effects.
Yeah.
That was you flying.
The backup stories didn't... The Black Cat was okay. The Spider-Man... 1602, I just breezed past because it just looked dumb.
1602?
Yeah, the
one you were talking
the
about.
One
oh,
you were
that.
Talking about. Yeah, yeah. That I didn't even look at. The Electro one I didn't even look at. The two pages of
the
how my powers were.
You had really nice art, I thought.
Was it? Well, I just, but again, and then the New Warriors, I'm just like, okay, filler.
Yeah.
Reprint. I'm like, so, and I went back and counted, you got 20 pages for your $6.
Somehow, and that New Warriors thing, like somehow Peter, I forgot that was in there, because there was a bunch of random nonsense in there. He goes to find Kane for some reason, because he hasn't been monitored and being out for so often, so he takes a vacation, you know, because obviously he's allowed to just leave, being that the whole issue before that was him and that argument with his coworkers saying, you can't go anywhere, and then he just takes off the... Whatever he took off to. But anyways.
It's good to be the boss. Colin does it all the time. He just takes off. He's like, hey, I ain't coming today.
But the whole issue was him, like, trying to figure it out. He talks to a bunch of people, and they're just like, yeah, but now he's a good guy now. And it's just like, okay. And that was the end. Like, he's just like, well, if he's going to be a good guy, I can live with that. And then they were done. And I was just like, this is awful. Like, I don't know. I'm expecting a lot more. But I think... Frankly, I'm gonna say it. I think Slott's done.
I agree.
I think we're done with Slott for Spider-Man. I think they need to switch
it. Burning out.
They need to, you know. But then again, I'm afraid of them doing that because they did it with Captain America. And geez, look where that went. put somebody new on Cap. And,
yeah, they'll put Scott Lobdell on Spider-Man. God.
It turned out Spider-Man isn't really Spider-Man. And I don't know. A whole bunch of stuff.
You're having a little too much fun with that eye.
It's fun. You should get some.
Playing with eyes.
Or like over like 20 of them or whatever.
Okay, David, Southern Bastards.
Don't call David name.
Yeah.
I don't even think he's from the South.
I'm not from Craw County.
Customer
Thank
lost.
Thank God. It was very compelling.
It was. The creepiest, that was good.
Creepiest book. I don't want to say I liked it, because that would cast aspersions on me.
Fried pie.
But
it opens with a dog pooping.
Yeah.
You know?
But...
It did.
How do you top that?
Are we still talking about Amazing Spider-Man 2?
No, that started with the writer pooping.
Can I tell you, if that book opened up that way, I'd have been sold on it. Like, they're doing something new here.
But,
on that note.
On that
and
note.
That's podcast.
Yeah. I don't know, Jason Aaron, he's just a master at setting moods in his books, like Scalped. I was comparing this to a little bit. But it's about, we should say what it's about. A guy comes back to his town in Craw County, Alabama, to pack up his dad's house, who died, and he's buried.
No, actually, sorry. His dad uncle. Died in like 1972. Oh, it was his okay. uncle who had to be put into a home.
Yeah. Okay, that's what it was. I'm sorry. And
don't make Colin come back.
No, I'm cold. I'm turning off the air.
It is kind of chilly.
I know.
Turn on the air, Colin.
And his dad was sheriff of the town, right, Colin?
Yeah, he was.
Did you read it, John?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And he's starting to see like those flashbacks of whenever, you know, those guys came to their house and confronted his dad. He was the sheriff.
Okay. So you don't know exactly what's going on with the town and with his dad. I thought it was cool how his dad is buried underneath the tree, which was grown out of from a bat used to carry around, which I don't know if it was named Lucille or not.
Do that again.
I'm watching.
You can't see it. Adam has two of the original Sin eyeballs. Yeah, that needs to be the...
Can you make that like the cover art and
it's
iTunes?
It's like Roger yeah. Rabbit. Remember Roger yeah. Rabbit?
Judge Doom, yeah.
They all fell out and there was something.
He died last week. Bob Hoskins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Judge Doom did.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know Christopher Lloyd died.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd.
Mario.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, sad. he wants to forget that one.
This eyeball. This one's all scuffed up.
Because you've been
rolling
it
on the table.
No, because you threw it at me.
Okay, Southern Bastard.
Get what you should, Colin.
No, I thought it was great. You definitely, you know, something's wrong in the town, and you, even though this guy doesn't want to do anything, you can just tell he's going to do something to take care of the boss. Or boss coach, or coach
boss.
Coach boss.
Coach
yeah.
boss,
they did a good
yeah.
job of taking a very overused, like, trope of the guy who left town and mm-hmm. never came back and reluctantly came back to take care of family affairs. And they made it interesting.
Yeah.
Anybody in the South is like that. His name, Boss something. Like in the
he's Boss the, Hog. He's the coach.
Yeah.
Coach
boss.
He's the coach of the high school football team. Right?
There's a shock.
Yeah.
That's and all the coach. Guys that work for him still wear like their old football jerseys and helmets.
Right. Right.
No, I thought that was very good. I still have copies, but that's like the hot image book of the week. So, or recently. It wasn't really a hot one this week. Next thing, no, I'm just going through what I read. Then you know, I'll let you guys talk about whatever you want. No, Forever Evil, Aftermath, Batman versus Bane, which was kind of funny because it is the aftermath of Forever Evil because
yeah.
they're kind of dealing with the aftermath of that. So it's like, oh gosh, I guess they're okay. the thing that was interesting was it was still that story. It's almost like they needed an extra issue of that story.
Yeah, of Arkham.
Because Batman didn't show up until like 2/3 of the way through the issue to start fighting with Bane. But believe it or not, he beats Bane and reclaims Gotham.
Yeah, there's a shock.
I know. I was very surprised.
I love the scene where, please, Mr. Bane, help my mother. Just get ready to bury her.
Yeah, he
Don't
walks
ask
in,
other
walks,
people
he comes
for
back.
Help.
Yeah.
That's kind of harsh. Although I picture Tom Hardy doing the voice the whole time too. Like, that's the voice I have in my head all the time.
Prepare to bury her.
Makes subtitles in comics.
Yeah. He goes and just straight up kills her, right?
No. She was dead.
Oh, I thought he was like put her out of misery.
No, he kills the guys.
Sounds like a main thing to do, you know.
He does do one of those things. They go into the rich part of Gotham and they're selling like bottles of water for $50, and he comes in and snaps a guy's neck and says, "Here, it's you now. Take care of yourselves."
Yeah.
Did you like the book? Because I heard a lot of people say that it wasn't that great.
It was okay. It was necessary as an epilogue to the story, but it wasn't that great.
It probably, you know, maybe take an issue out where not so much was going on, or take a couple pages out of each of the six books and just make that the sixth book, it would have worked.
Yeah. The story, I like the story.
Yeah.
I like the story overall. I thought it was neat.
It was a quick, like, ending, the whole thing, but that ended, end all of a sudden, he's just, like, he comes back, just beats up Bane, tells him to get out. Like, it seems like a lot of build-up, and then he's just, get out, Bane.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is that's not where Batman is right now, because they're still in Zero Year. It would have made more sense had that kind of been the story arc that Batman was working at, because Detective is on Icarus.
Yeah.
You got Zero Year, and then Eternal is running, you know, its own storyline. So
where is that Icarus tie in? Like, where?
Well, they've only had the first. They only had the first issue. The second issue came out today. I haven't read that yet to see where it's going.
The art's real nice, but I really
it's
like
different art. It's brighter than the normal Batman art.
Well, it fit Flash, I think, more.
Yeah. Yes.
I think I've said that before on the podcast when the first issue of that came out. With Flash, you know, it's a bright character anyways.
Right, but a bright yellow cover is not what I expect on a Batman book.
I think it worked, though. I mean, I don't know.
Then again,
I liked it.
Yeah.
First issue of Batman and Robin, that's what it was. It was a bright yellow
that's
cover.
That's true. Ha. Okay. Ha.
Yeah, but it was Robin.
He's got a point there.
There you go. Fair enough. And then Batman Eternal, I just read today, actually, number four. It had me when they had Stephanie Brown on the phone in a purple hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's standing there, and the hood's covering, and all you see, like, are her eyes or something. I'm like, okay, win. But good.
Is this a spoiler?
Very good. Yeah, no. No, but I thought it was good, and, you know, definitely...
I feel like somebody just said the magic word on Pee Wee's Playhouse. Like,
today's secret world is spoiler.
Okay, Cherry or whatever.
What was the robot?
No, the chair.
The chair was Cherry.
The chair is what he sat in. The robot gave
him forget what the robot's name is. And the
Conky. Remember John?
Yeah, Conky. Yeah. And Jombie was the genie.
Mecha-Honey-Ho. Yeah. That's the magic word, by the way. Yeah. Colin invites us all here for this podcast.
Every week, this just evolves more and more.
Sadly, we made it 121. Okay.
But see, if we if all of a sudden we don't show up, though, he starts sending out Facebook requests saying, "Come on, come back." So he messes us.
No, we have five. It's good. Five's good.
Yeah.
Well, it's just you and me. That's a disaster. Thank God Pat's here.
It's a disaster.
So that's all I read because I had something going on last week. So what about you guys?
Why'd you take my eye? I need that to see.
That's his reading eye.
That's my.
Put the comic books back.
That's how I see what's going on everywhere and anywhere.
We'll hand it to him, and then he has to say what his original sin is.
Good.
Okay, so you didn't read anything?
Well, did I read anything? Batman Eternal?
We just talked about
that until you went into the
magic word.
About
it. I thought you never let me finish what I was saying.
Yeah,
we just talked about that.
Mecha-Heine-Ho or whatever it was. Yeah. Sorry.
Colin's not cultured, that's the problem. Anyways. What was the... I don't know, a lot of the Free Comic Book Day stuff I read.
You read Flash, didn't you?
Did I read Flash?
No, he
didn't. I've read a little bit about Flash. I don't know. I read a lot of just of the Free Comic Book Day stuff because I had like stuff I've never read. Like, I've got to read American Vampire, which I've never got a chance to read. I never read Why the Last Man. I got to read that finally.
Wow.
And I thought that was interesting. It just seemed like a, you know, just a different take on everything of how you think the situation, you know, how people usually would think.
Yeah,
you know,
he's the last man on Earth.
And it's just, it was. It was a really good story. And American Vampire was. It was really good. It just, it had a good first issue. So I was happy to grab this. What was that one? There was another Batman book that came out last week. It wasn't Eternal.
I don't know what Batman book came out last week other than Eternal.
It wasn't Batman Superman.
That was this week.
Yeah.
Detective was this week.
Yeah.
It was Batman in...
That maybe you're just thinking of Batman and Eternal.
No, I think you're delusional.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just thinking of Batman and Eternal. I don't know. That's pretty well it. I read Spider-Man. We already talked about Spider-Man.
Okay.
Pat?
I read Flash. Did anybody else read that?
I read Flash.
I liked
Go
it.
Fish.
Oh. Give me all your fours. No. I like Flash. I guess some people complained about Wally West and his new ethnic heritage.
Ethnic heritage?
Ethnic heritage. But it wasn't distracting. Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the way he was introduced. You spray paint a wall and, you know, Barry caught him doing it because apparently that's the most important thing he had to do at that moment and not solve the case.
And then he spray painted Barry.
Yeah.
Barry. Yeah. I'll run that.
Yeah. But I like where they're going with that, with, the Speed Forces, you know, kind of being consumed. And Grodd was in there. And
I actually like Grodd in this. I didn't like Grodd in the arc, in the, you know, when
the Gorilla City arc.
Yeah.
Elaborate on that. The Speed Force is being consumed. Like, how is it?
He's... It's broken. And you don't know how yet. But, Grodd was eating...
He said it's been broken.
Right, he said it's been broken, but you don't know how.
Yeah.
And he was actually eating Professor Zoom's...
He ate Professor Zoom?
He was eating his brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To gain all his knowledge.
And that's, like, Grodd's... He's going... He was using the Speed Force to go back in time to, like, stop the burning of the library at Alexandretta and all that. Or Alexandria, and you know, recover all those books, and that's what he's doing, I guess.
Have they ever addressed, like, is the Professor Zoom, just a new Professor Zoom?
No, it's Strom.
No, I mean, Flashpoint, he died on Flashpoint. Like, did he ever come back from that? Or, because the Flash should just be the Flash. Like, he should be from Flashpoint, but showed up and time changed or whatever.
Well, they said he was the greatest scientist from the 25th century.
So it's kind of it's the same, but it's kind of it's a new 52 version. It's not really the old version of him.
Well, it could have been the events of Flashpoint prevented him from doing what he did in the future, so he could have still survived.
So he never came back. That makes sense.
Time travel never works when you think about it.
I always wish they would do more with what happened with Flashpoint to explain, like, what happened, which it's open. Like, I think they can.
They can, because I actually went back and read Flashpoint a few months ago, and I'm like, how did it get from here to all this? And you know, I think you were saying, like, well, they didn't really plan for that to happen when they did Flashpoint. They just kind of took advantage of it after the fact.
But. Yeah. I always like that end scene where he gives Batman
the note.
The letter. Yeah.
I brought up the point about you were talking about the Speed Force being consumed or whatever, and that's kind of what they're doing at Green Lantern, because they're making the emotional spectrum is being used up, and stuff like that. That's what's creating the uprising. That's been a good story. Have you been reading Green Lantern?
Yeah. Well, uprising just started today. Yeah. So I haven't read that yet, but I'm looking forward to.
It's kind of neat how they this group of aliens has to kind of put them like sleepers into the Green Lanterns all these years. And, you know, different ones are this, or they've been on the planet. And one of the issues a while back was kind of funny that they didn't realize, like, it wasn't part of their plan that OO was going to be destroyed.
Right.
So they had to figure something out, like, real quick. So they kind of joined up with them, but for a little while. But I think even after Geoff Johns, like, it's been doing pretty well.
It's been good. Yeah. And I think Robert Venditti is a good person to be on it because he's already been doing the like the cosmic stuff with Exo Man of War.
So. Well, the only issue I have right now with it is mainly to do with New Guardians. The New Guardians really doesn't tie too much into it, which on its own,
it's supposed to be like it's space exploration book.
Yeah,
that's the only one I'm not reading right now.
Beginning of New 52, I know everybody here kind of liked it. Like, I know you like New Guardians when I first started.
Yeah, did you read the annual that came out last week?
I didn't get a chance. That's why I didn't read.
So they're starting to, with the annual, look at what actually is beyond the source wall and what really happened to Kyle when he went beyond the wall. So
that's gonna,
it looks like it might start to, you know, kind of tie back into things a little bit.
But it is kind of cool, though. We, you know, when we get these Green Lantern Corps, they kind of, their continuation off of the other story. So you got one large story in these.
Yeah, and I'm not reading.
And it doesn't strongly like tie in. It's not like part one, part two. It's like the events are happening here, and it's all together.
Core ties in a lot better than New Guardians.
And that's why I keep thinking about getting Corp, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting Green Lantern, New Guardians, Red Lanterns now, Lord Flees, which that's ending in a couple months.
Red Lanterns is actually my favorite.
It's really good.
Was Lord Flees supposed to end, or is it getting canceled?
It got canceled.
Yeah.
But it was a goofy book anyway. It's funny. Like, if you enjoy the character, it's a funny book, but it's very repetitive.
Yeah.
After a while. And he really is a one-joke character for the most part.
This arc has lasted longer than it should have. I think the arc got cut a bit shorter than they did something else maybe it could have gotten.
But I think that might be why the arc stayed as long as it has. They just knew, and instead of starting something new, they just decided to do it.
Ooh.
I
just think with a new book like that, with a character a lot of people don't know, start with a short arc and then get onto something so you don't bore people too fast. But
yeah, because it actually spun off of Threshold or something. Yeah, and I'm like, who read that? Okay,
surprise. I read it. Like, I picked up the first issue because it was getting some good press, and then I kept reading it and I was liking it, but then I got bored with it, but then it was canceled. I'm like, well, it's only going to be 8 issues, so I'll stay on now. I'm already committed. But that book was just, it was like a wall of words, and it became very boring. But the backups were good. So the Lord Flees backups and that were good, so that got me interested in.
Didn't that part start off with like the annual of Green Lantern or something?
Yeah, there was something like.
I remember reading
when he got.
That was he had like a weird like lantern in his chest or
something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I have those 8 issues at home that I'll never touch again. But and it was a $4 book, which didn't help it out at all either.
That's one of the issues sometimes with New 52. It's if you get into a book and then they decide to cancel. But luckily, all the ones that I have chosen pretty much haven't got canceled. I lost my eyeball. I'll get it.
How are you going to find it?
A lot of them that I haven't had, like, didn't get canceled or anything. And some of them that I expected to get canceled.
Still around.
Did. You know, they did, thank you. They, you know, like, is Demonite still around? No. Because I always expected some of those to get. And Stormwatch, I wasn't sure if it was going to last. What's funny is a lot of the, who made the... What were those books? They were that company...
Wildstorm.
Like Grifter... Wildstorm, yeah. All those Wildstorm characters, I didn't think they were going to make it, and they didn't seem to. Like,
although it looks like Grifter, they're trying to integrate
more.
They're
trying to keep... They're using Grifter. Well, people like him.
Looks like he's going to have a big role
in future Zen.
So if they can keep him in it somehow. And some of these characters you might want to just leave, but some of them don't need to have their own books. But if they're trying to make money off of this, they have to have a certain amount to make the money, and they know that. So, I don't know. A lot of the characters I just can't. And we still don't have a Detective Chimp book.
No.
You know? And it seems odd. But
are you upset about that?
Well, you know, if we get a Rocket Raccoon book for Marvel, why can't we have a Detective Chimp book?
Well, no. I like our idea from Saturday better. It's going to be Gleek, Detective Chimp, and Grodd. It's going to be called Monkey Business.
Monkey Business.
And the tagline is, they're going bananas.
They're going bananas. See?
I'll forward that one on.
Yeah.
But not about the candy
van. Yeah, not about the free candy van.
Oh, well.
So, I read Black Science.
That was good.
Behind.
That wrapped up the arc, which...
Surprising end of that.
Yeah.
Frog strippers?
No, no Frogster. I think I'm going to be out. Well, first, it's not coming again until July, but...
You think you're going to be out?
The Frogstrippers hooked me, and I haven't seen Frogstrippers since the first issue.
See, I think I like that each issue like is a very is a very distinct...
Yeah. World.
It's almost like Lost in Space meets Sliders.
Yeah. It was a very Planet of the Apes type planet where they showed up this time, and it was, I don't, the head scientist ran into himself, but he's an ape, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you know, they don't understand each other, but the one guy that sabotaged
Kadir,
yeah, Kadir that sabotaged their machine. Apparently, that's his whole purpose. In every world, he's the one that screws it up.
But it seemed like his motivations aren't what you thought they were
right.
with it, which is interesting. And I don't know. I just the book has me hooked with the, you know, every week or every month being that different environment and ton of action.
Yeah.
Mateo Scalera's art, I think, has been phenomenal. I mean, the first issue was at its best, but I think it's been pretty solid every issue.
So. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I might continue to get it, but it's skipping a month doesn't help. Because I may forget about it by July when it comes back.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I don't think a month's bad. I won't let you forget,
don't we? Okay. Well, if Colin doesn't let me forget.
You have books like Saga that take off every six issues.
Forget. I don't read Saga, so that's okay.
It's not American. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, after what you showed me the other week, I'm probably not going to start reading that.
One of these days, archaeologists are going to find Colin's notebook. They're going to try to translate me.
They need the Rosetta Stone.
That means nothing at all.
What does this mean?
What is this?
Like hieroglyphs. Like,
there's this tiny bit of English in it for a little bit. And all this time, the whole page goes up the symbols. Some sort of alien language.
Shut up.
Well said.
Anything else on your notes there, David?
I read Hulk.
Okay, I read Hulk 1.
Anybody else read that?
I read, really yeah, I read Hulk 2.
Did you read Hulk?
Yeah.
Bruce Banner, he's shot in the head, and he's mentally challenged now. Why is he living, why is he with this old couple in Kentucky?
Because
if he's a little slow, Kentucky's probably the place you want to send him.
That there goes our Kentucky listeners.
S.H.I.E.L.D. has agents
see you, Kentucky.
Infiltrating that entire town. So that
people from Kentucky don't read anyway.
Is he a couple S.H.I.E.L.D. agents?
Yeah, because whenever he looked like he was about to get pissed off about the ice cream cone thing, then...
Hulk won ice cream, smash!
I like that.
Then Maria Hill
when Hulk got upset the one about ice cream.
Yeah.
Okay.
How did I not read this?
Yeah.
And he does have a temper tantrum. Yeah.
Okay. This is like the regular Hulk and not like the little kid's Hulk book or something?
It is the regular Hulk.
It'll bitty Hulk.
Temper tantrum, ice cream.
It's Simple Jack meets Hulk.
Okay.
So did he get shot in the head at
Simple Jack and Hulk.
At the end of the last season.
Indestructible Hulk was just kind of funny, and then it's Indestructible Hulk, and he wasn't.
Well, that's why they couldn't call it that anymore, so we needed a new number one so they could change it up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. When Indestructible Hulk started out, I thought it was great. I loved the book, and then it got bogged down by tying into events. Like, it was tied into the aftermath of Age of Ultron for, like, 6 months, and then after that it was the Inhumanity stuff.
Marvel's real good at that.
And then I thought maybe with the new series it'd be a bit better. And it's interesting, the whole concept of Bruce Banner being, you know, shot and as he is now, and see how it plays out. But like half this book I liked, the other half it was like 5 pages of the guy just, you know, with Maria Hill saying, "This can't happen in my town. Why are all these angels in my town? This is our town."
It just didn't work for me at all, that part. And
yeah, it just maybe. Got boring.
The Abomination shows up at the end. Abomination's back, and Hulk fights him.
A-bomb.
Abomination.
It's not A-bomb. Oh.
A-bomb is Rick
Rick Jones.
Oh. I was thinking it might have been more interesting if the Hulk was smart now, the opposite of Banner, but that didn't happen.
I was surprised they didn't do that Hulk team. That team.
Agents
of
Smash.
Agents of Smash, because that seems like a horrible idea. Like, just think though, like, Hulk himself is hard to write because he's too powerful. Then you get a whole team of Hulks? Like, how is that going to work? What are they going to go on? Secret missions? Like, it's all Hulk. He smashes things. You have to see. How stealthy can he be? He's big and green. Like, and some of them are red. Yeah, they're red. You know? And then Christmas just walked out the tree. I don't know, but as you were saying about stuff getting derailed, it's just Marvel's really good at that. Like, I can't say that about DC because, like, I'm reading Forever Evil, and I don't think anything's gotten derailed.
It hasn't. I mean, Marvel tries to tie in everything, and DC, I mean, maybe sometimes they don't tie in enough, but it's you don't feel...
Well, I kind of said to myself, like, I'm not reading that many Marvel books, so I tried Original Sin. I'm going to read it, but I'm not going to get all the tie-ins.
There are no DC books that feel like they're only there in service of some other event or book in DC's lineup.
Yeah.
And with Hulk, it just felt that way, which is surprising. You have Mark Waid on it, and the book feels like it's just...
Any characters in DC in Forever Evil, like, anything that they needed to explain otherwise, they added three books, and that was the Rogues book, the Arkham book...
Yeah,
and the Argus book, and that's all they needed to do.
I loved it.
Being that it was a Justice League event, if you read Justice League already, which if you're reading Justice League, you're probably going to be reading Forever Evil because it ties into.
You kind of had to.
And it worked, but if they tied it into, let's say, I don't know. We'll say
All-Star Batman. Western?
Yeah, All-Star Western, I'd be like, okay, this isn't All-Star Western. Yeah, that's a good one. But All-Star Western.
What's Jonah Hex doing here?
Why is Jonah Hex, like, dealing with this? Like, what did this have to do with Jonah Hex? But Marvel would have figured out a way that kind of character would tie into it. It's just,
Marvel, no matter what you're reading in Marvel's lineup, they try to force you to at least get a taste of their current...
Yeah. Like, why
it's like I'm looking. I was making. I make a group for the people that want to. I want all the Original Sin tie-ins, and it's going. I'm looking at it's going through Daredevil, Avengers, Fantastic Four, Mighty Avengers. That's selling for crap. Invaders,
Deadpool.
It's just like all these bizarre books that nobody would be getting all of them, but
yeah.
But that is an eclectic choice there. I mean, your Mighty Avengers people are probably not your Deadpool people.
Well, with Avengers anymore, it's hard to say what kind of people are who because you have so many different Avengers teams for absolutely no reason.
Well, considering he only sells four copies of your Mighty Avengers book, most people that are reading that aren't reading other things.
Yeah.
Like, most people reading other things aren't reading that.
See, I can understand if they have certain books, but it's also how they have to write them. But I understand if like they decide let's have a stealthy Avengers team. Okay, you have Secret Avengers. That makes sense. It makes sense to have another.
Well, like Mighty Avengers started in Infinity.
But what's the point?
And now it's now by issue like 8, it's tying in with Original Sin. It's like the book doesn't have a chance to like the problem you had with Hulk. It doesn't have a chance to. Yeah.
What's the point of it though? Like
Have another Avengers book on the shelf.
And then,
X-Force made sense because they went off and did the missions that other teams couldn't do.
What about Uncanny sense. Avengers? Like, what is the point of that book?
That was their flagship.
That was the launching point for Marvel now.
If you think about it, because it had nothing to do with, like, how would you get anybody in there with that book?
It's an annual. It's a great number one. It's a great jumping on point.
Yes.
I heard the recent annual wasn't great, but otherwise, though, hasn't the book been getting a lot of...
It is, but it's
just very much a standalone. It doesn't tie in with any other thing.
To me, though, that seems like a benefit.
But not for your flagship book. That's out of continuity with all the other...
But if you look at the Avengers proper book, that's not a very...
None of them are.
That's what I'm saying. Like, all these Avenger books, we don't have an Avenger team. Like, and according to, like, Dan Slott with Spider-Man, the Avengers team is the Avengers Assemble team. It's just like, who reads that book? You know, so it's just like, why are they even considering them the Avengers? Do they work out of a tower still? Or are they?
I think in Avengers Assemble they do.
A million and one Avengers living in that tower? Like,
that's why it's a tower. Yeah. A lot of floors. You got a lot of different people.
That's true. But
just make sure the Hulk's on the bottom floor.
Even the Mighty Avengers, do they live there? You know.
No.
Is the mansion still around?
I think that's where the Mighty Avengers
live. I think Tony Stark needs to get a hold of like the license.
The mansion's around because he
has it. I'm sure it belongs.
They had the mansion in an issue of Hawkeye.
And he needs to say, okay, you can't use the Avengers name. Like, you're not allowed.
Didn't he sell him the mansion for $1? I remember that.
Which ones did he give it to?
Luke Cage. Who now is in charge of the Mighty Avengers.
Wait, no, but Uncanny had it, remember? Didn't the Uncanny Avengers have it?
Yeah, they were there.
So they, like, split it up in the half?
They're subletting.
Yeah. Pay attention, man.
Yeah.
It's not that
there's
hard.
Too many Avengers books to pay attention.
No, there's not. At least they just ended AI, so.
That's still going? That was still going?
It was.
What is Doombot going to do?
I don't know.
I like your new doodle, by the way.
Let's see who's going to notice. Anybody else? Any other books? Not now.
Valiant again.
He really didn't like Adam. 3,000 years ago.
Yeah, that was what it is.
Valiant?
Valiant came out with a new number one last week, Rye, which, I don't know, it doesn't sound like you guys are reading any Valiant, but I love how they're building their universe, releasing the books. So Rye is another one that takes place in 4001 AD. So it's same time frame as the current arc in Eternal Warrior. It's written by Matt Kent. And the biggest draw for Rye, I don't know if you looked at it at all, but like the art is just, it's phenomenal. Clayton Crane's painted art in the book. I mean, just has a nice, like, Blade Runner feel to it.
I thought he said Crane.
Dr. Crane. Lilith is on colors. But no, the art's great. The book starts off with a murder mystery. There hasn't been a murder in Japan in 1,000 years. And suddenly these, like, technology Luddites dispose of this body. And the main character, Rai, who's this... I guess the protector of Japan, because Japan is now ruled by this ominous presence called Father, and Rai is like the right hand. So he gets involved to try and, you know, figure out this murder mystery, and Japan is like a space station that's just hovering above this apocalyptic Earth now. So it's very technology heavy. It's a very good
that
setup.
Too different than today.
Yeah, that's what this not how Japan is now. Yeah,
it is.
It's just not floating. But...
It will. Give it time.
But I mean, the first book did a good job of setting up that world, and I'm very interested to see where they go with it.
Cool.
The Vertigo Quarterly.
Okay.
Did you read that?
Not yet. The big ones, especially last week, wasn't going to happen.
It was all right. The theme for it was cyan.
Right.
But the theme didn't really work that well.
Okay.
I think it was a bit too obscure, too vague.
Okay.
A lot of the stories, it seemed like they only used cyan, just the color palette.
Okay.
They didn't, 'cause the whole theme of the book's supposed to be use cyan for either, you know, the tone, the mood, the color, whatever, but it seemed like it was just mainly, let's do a blue wash over the panels, and that's it. There was no real, like, connective tissue between it and the stories. Most of the stories seemed to end pretty abruptly. They had a lot of good creators on it, but I don't know if it was really worth $8. I think the best story in it was Blue Sunday, which was by Jock and Lee Garbutt, which essentially, the premise of the story, you had ice cream truck men or ice cream men, and they were actually a legion of protectors against all things demonic. So all ice cream men are just, you know, protecting the world from demonic things. Like, they stabbed this demon dog in the eye with a popsicle. I mean, it was wacky, but it was kind of, you know, the one thing that really stood out, and I would read more of this just to see where it's going.
There's a lot of ice cream related books last week.
And then the last one I'll mention here, Deadly Class 4. I don't know if you guys are reading that.
I read the first one.
I was reading that. I forgot that the fourth one came out last week.
Yeah,
attention, man.
It's been, I mean...
Where were you on that one?
I was busy.
You weren't pushing a book. That's your fault.
I was busy.
It's retailer's fault.
So you read up to 3?
Yeah.
So 3 was kind of like a downer issue with, I mean...
Yeah.
How it tied up. So 4 is just, I mean, it was a fun issue. I mean, to put it simply, there's a pretty crazy acid trip halfway through, and the way the art...
That explains the cover. Okay.
Yeah, the art takes a pretty drastic change when it happens. And I mean, the art, the colors were great. The story, it was a fun book.
Okay.
So, I mean, every week or every month, this book seems to keep my interest. So that's another Rick Remender, Wes Craig's doing the art on that book. But yeah, if you're reading it, I would recommend getting 4. And that's it for me.
Colin, what'd you read?
We already went over the 4 I read.
Pat, what'd you read?
We already went over what I read.
Okay. Well, we were going to do previews, but we're well over an hour into this. So. And I'm tired. Hour and 45 minutes. Holy cow.
So, okay, we forgot to mention one thing, which is vitally important, but Adam Warrock is going to be here Tuesday at 7. So please come down. I want a full house. People come in just to listen to him perform. That's about it. But please come down Tuesday 7, free concert. It's a lot of fun. I know a lot of people are like, oh, I don't really listen to hip-hop. Well, that's just kind of the background music, but the subject matter of what he's singing about is quite hilarious because it's, you know, all comic-related stuff, you know, and it's a lot of fun. It's a good time. He's a fun guy. So please come down. I'm paying him whether you show up or not, and I'd rather have a full house than just a few people. So
oh, thanks. That's a podcast.
That's a podcast. Bye.
Shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe, super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build a mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society, studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beat. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like.
On these cats, right? Yeah.
Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody'll save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a